Thought we'd go ahead and check in with a little bit of a winter look at what is going on with Tennessee baseball. And to help us do that is the head coach of the Volunteers, Tony Vitello. Coach, how are you?
Not too shabby. A slow time for us, so a lot of smiling going on in the office. I hope we can keep this rolling when SEC play comes around.
Definitely. And we did see a little bit of news. We now know that on January 25th, that's when the first pitch banquet will take place.
Yeah, and we're going to be at a fantastic venue. We've tried to bounce around a little bit. We'll be at the Mill and Mine in Old City, which is actually where I now live, and that place is changing every single day. So it'll be a good environment, and, you know, we can talk about the speakers as well. But we play KU in basketball that day, so I hope to be celebrating that evening.
Yeah, I think you'll already be working on putting some of that into your opening comments when it comes to what Tennessee's fortunes are against those blasted Jayhawks. Who will be, if you want to share, sharing the podium that night?
So we're, you know, Luke Hochhaver is incredibly involved in the community and all kinds of things. He's a speaker, and if something pops, we may have to replace him, but Luke will be joined by Julio Borbone, who he, of course, played with and went to Omaha with, and J.P. Arencibia as well, and then Jan Gomes. So all four of those guys played for the Vols, played in Omaha, have played in the big leagues, and two of those guys have won World Series. And, you know, Jan will have a very recent experience to share with everyone, and we'll kind of make it an informal, kind of unique approach to the whole speaker thing, and just kind of have a roundtable discussion with those guys. And of course, Q&A will probably be pretty interesting with those four guys. And hopefully JP will let the other three have a word in there at some point.
I think the key will be to give the other three microphones.
Yeah,
and let them decide indeed whether or not they'll loan JP theirs.
There you go.
As far as what, once you get past fall ball, what do you charge your pitchers, your position players? How do you tell them to approach the off season where they can, one, either get much needed rest or kind of separate themselves and get some great work done on just making sure they're physically ready for the upcoming challenge?
Sure. Well, I kind of go with the Italian approach of, you know, putting things into threes. And the three things or priorities we relay to those guys is, now that the Fall World Series is over, we're still going to do baseball things, but your priorities are academics, number one. They can now put more hours into studying and making sure they finish the semester strong. And, of course, finals are heavily weighted. Number two is all things conditioning, fitness, strength, whatever you want to put in that, speed, however you want to label that. You know, recovering, as you mentioned, but also building strength and speed, it's the best time of year to do that because there's not as many hours on the field. And then number three is, you know, improving upon weaknesses. Now even these freshmen have enough repetitions, and we have enough repetitions in watching these guys, that we can accurately assess and say, here's an area where you have to get better at if you're going to be on the field every day for us or a contributor, and if our team is going to be successful in the SEC. And that's where it's been fun to watch Frank, you know, get with some pitchers in the bullpen and really individualize some things to improve guys. Josh and Ross doing those things with our hitters, and you know, defensively, we put as much time into that this semester as any program in the country. So we kind of press the issue with that even further after the Fall World Series.
Tony, what do you like most about your team coming out of the fall?
You know, that there's some leadership there. There's direction by players, not just coaches. And obviously, we've got salaries to earn and a job to do and all that good stuff, but we pointed to Coach Barnes's basketball team so many times when I visited with you guys, or even just in our own locker room, that what a great example of a program that obviously is very well coached and well run. But anyone who watched those games saw those players coaching each other. And mainly it came from the leaders of the team, where they're reinforcing the message and the theme of the program. And also sometimes beating the coaching staff to things, which if you're on the floor, you know, you're a lot closer than Coach Barnes. Or if you're on the field, you know, Connor Pavloni's catching, he's closer to the pitcher than Frank Anderson is. So we have those types of things going on. It's been really neat to see. I think part of it is the type of kid we have. Obviously, part of it is we've been in Knoxville now for 3 years or close to it, but a huge part of it is there's some high-level character in that locker room, and it's been a great part of the semester.
What concerns you most about your team coming out of the fall?
You know, I would say health. It was a really obscure set of circumstances that gave us a big rash of injuries. And by now, I was actually thinking about it the other night when I couldn't sleep. I should know the number of serious injuries, a couple season-ending injuries. Those two occurred before the fall even started in the summer. But then in the fall, we just had a guy turn his ankle on a base. A guy was playing catch, you know, football and jammed his finger. Just a bunch of goofy stuff that seemed to pile on. And our man Woody's as good as anybody, but he was overworked in the training room this semester. And I do think for the most part, other than missing some freshmen that will definitely redshirt, we'll get everyone healthy by SEC play. But, you know, two lefties like Will Heflin and Kirby Cannell, those are two of our best pitchers, and those guys won't be with us at the very start of the season. So we're going to have to overcome that, and obviously we hope to keep everybody healthy.
Sometimes in the fall there'll be a player that kind of breaks through and is maybe more productive than you had envisioned beforehand. Did you see much of that in the fall?
You know, a lot like our conversations last year, there's a good amount of balance, and call it diversity if you want. There's a lot of different strengths that we have. I don't think we have very many dominant players, but nonetheless, getting to the answer, Trey Lipscomb, you know, was the best player in the stadium when we played Clemson, and it's a very solid ACC team at the worst, and I feel like a very solid SEC team at the worst, and all the guys played because we played so many innings, and he was by far the best player that particular day. Now, there were other days where guys were not just better than him, but better than him at his position. So he's still got to prove himself that he's our everyday player on the corner somewhere. But that was pretty exciting. And he's really changed physically and really just with his presence. So that's my immediate answer.
You mentioned that there were any number of things that led to Woody being a little bit overworked or the line forming at the training room. And I'm just wondering, how much as a coach do you worry about the stuff that guys just want to be a part of, whether it's throwing football ahead of going to a Tennessee football game or perhaps a pickup game of basketball? How much do you as a head baseball coach worry about some of those things that, you know, guys want you to do as much as you want to do, but also just be mindful that stuff can bubble up at any point in time?
Sure, I've gone up and down with it, and it seems like, and I'm not a parent, but I've got friends that are, and of course, you know, have my parents. It seems like when you harp on something, that's exactly what happens. You know, don't break curfew, and it almost kind of triggers a thing in an 18 or 19 year old's mind, you know, to break curfew or to go play basketball when you say don't do it. So I think I've gotten to the point where I'm not too good at managing stress or anxiety about things that I can control. But I think for all of us as a coaching staff, all we can do is just relay to these kids that, you know, they need to take care of their bodies and recover when they can. But we don't get too specific with all that, and we don't stress it too much when they're away from us, even though we probably should. And, you know, I'm sure if you get on Instagram enough, you could probably see one of our guys doing something goofy that maybe you wouldn't want them to, but I think you'll just wear yourself out if you're worrying nonstop about what could happen instead of just kind of putting your energy into what you want to happen when you're training with your guys and when you're actually around them.
You look at what Garrett Crochet has meant to Tennessee baseball since arriving, and then you also look at what his role will likely be coming into the 2020 season. And I don't know that it's ever been more important, but as you talk about leadership coming from the ranks of the players, and of course there being a void where you've had guys like Garrett Stallings and so on, what's it like to see Crochet realize, embrace the fact that this is his time, and he of course is going to lead by example in terms of trying to be at the front of that staff?
It's been inspiring. I mean, you know, people come to the games and they see how a guy performs, but they don't necessarily see what goes on behind the scenes when a guy, for any of our athletic teams at Tennessee, transform their body, you know, or just grow in a way that they can make adjustments and things like that. But overall, he's just matured tremendously. You've got a kid that, you know, I don't think he would mind me telling you, he's got freak-like abilities. I mean, there's just not that many kids that tall with that type of left-handed arm. But as a freshman, that's almost exclusively what he brought to the table. You know, I say that with an asterisk, you know, kid with a big heart and he likes to compete. But now he's just got a very well-rounded resume. He's really mature. He's leading by example, but also with his voice and just kind of his energy. And he certainly doesn't have the world figured out yet. I mean, we just talked with him the other day about some adjustments he needed to make. And if he really wants to lead this team, he's going to do it over these next really about 30 days our guys have on their own. The season is bearing down on us, and they've got 30 days where they're responsible for their own actions. And if the guys see Garrett is preparing just like he does when he's with all the coaches, even though he's not, it'll be huge for the other guys to see that. And then also, he'll probably end up being the guy that throws the first pitch of the season for us.
Tony, we've heard football coaches say that the offseason, that's when a lot of the players actually improve the most with their weightlifting and so forth. From a baseball perspective, do you see it that way also?
I do. And the way I explain it to our guys is if you're in a race, you'll run faster, you know, a 60-yard dash or a 40, if there's a guy next to you. You know, and I don't know if that holds true with track or not, but when we're throwing the 60, it does. You'll have somebody that's pushing you on a competitive day. But on a training day in between, if you're training by yourself, to me, that's when you can grow the most if you're getting after it, because you're not being held back and waiting for another guy to get in his repetition, or you're not having to do what's best for the whole team. You can really kind of script your schedule to be just for you, and we're all different as athletes. So I feel like on training day, when you get that freedom to kind of individualize what you want to do, and with summer ball, you know, you may not hit BP with the team every day, so you get to go to the cage and just kind of do your thing. I think it opens up a world of, you know, options for guys to get better. So I think that holds true with our sport. It's a good observation, and that's kind of the way I've put it with our guys because, again, they've got 30 days. And I hope now that they're listening that you bring this up. They've got 30 days to be their own coach, and if they're driven, you know, that'll come up. And, you know, I'm going off on a tangent, but I hadn't mentioned to you guys yet, Max Scherzer was good enough to come on campus recently and speak to our guys. And I never even asked Max to do that. And he's very loyal to Missouri, who's obviously in our division, but out of loyalty to our relationship and interest in our program, he came and spoke to our guys, and he talked about the difference between being motivated and being driven. And driven is an ongoing, lasting thing. And, you know, motivating is coaches there running you through the practice. But being driven is a guy like Crochet that, you know, hopefully is a maniac over Christmas break, and he's even better when he returns.
Do you have a different lifting regimen for a pitcher versus a position player?
Very different, and it's pretty cool that, you know, donors and fan loyal fans, just people that have come around the building lately, see the difference in our guys' bodies. They're all starting to look very similar. Trey Lipscomb, I mentioned earlier, is kind of one of those guys that's really developed physically. And now all these guys, they look very similar, and they're tapered. You know, I think they're all getting stronger, and the flight of the ball and the ball coming out of our pitcher's hands shows that. And that's all attributed to Quentin Eberhart. He's our strength coach, and we took a long time to make a decision who we wanted that guy to be. The three of us even had several conversations on the radio about it. And I think we struck gold with Coach Q. He was Coach Elander's favorite strength coach he ever had. And so that was the lead we had. And, again, I think we struck gold because he's really talented at interacting with the guys as people. But as far as that weight room stuff, he's phenomenal. And he individualizes everything to a T. How flexible your hips are as a shortstop. The other shortstop, you know, may be more flexible or less flexible. So you guys might be doing a totally different leg exercise. I mean, he's put a ton of time into the thing to make sure these guys are getting exactly what they need as individuals.
One of the things I've truly appreciated is how plugged in you are, not just obviously with your own program at the University of Tennessee, but also who's doing what just around campus when it comes to UT athletics. And I'm just wondering what have been your viewpoints on this Tennessee football season, simply for the fact that there's something to be said for a team battling hard second half of the season to make the postseason, isn't there?
No doubt. And just the South Carolina game was the turning point for me, just for, with my eyes. I haven't been able to lock in on every single player practice, but you could just see those guys fighting. And it's all the cliches of, you know, adversity either breaks you down and makes you quit or makes you stronger, one or the other. You know, you talk about all the time as a locker room, you know, it's easy to be happy, you know, if you're dogpiling. But what if things aren't going so well? You either get closer in those moments or you grow apart. And, you know, it got nasty at the beginning of the year for football, and they grew together. And a lot of that is attributed to their leadership they have with all of their coaches. I mean, those guys have phenomenal resumes. So if the players will just latch on to exactly what they're being asked to do by all those guys, there's no way they're not going to have success at some point. And that point has arrived to an extent. You know, I think to expect them to go from this to, you know, the SEC championship game, if you're in their locker room, it's probably what Coach Pruitt wants. But I think me as a fan, you got to temper things and just realize it's a process. But it's awfully fun to see that process kind of developing and unfolding right in front of us. It's been neat.
Well, and it obviously impacts so many sports because so many fall recruiting visits take place that involve, let's go over to Neyland Stadium for a bit, and I'm just wondering to see a new life kind of breathed into Neyland Stadium when you might have been entertaining future prospects for the University of Tennessee. What impact does that have, and how would you say the November signing period went for you?
I think it went very well. I think we've got, you know, a big group of guys, and that was because of the turnover that we'll naturally have. But those guys being on campus for other sports, a lot of times it's about getting them to commit. And it certainly helped us that football and basketball, you know, two of the major sports have done what they've done. But where it also helps us is when those guys sign and they're at a football game like that, they realize, well, if I get drafted and sign with the Braves or whoever, I'm not going to get to go to these games. And I know that's something that Mookie Betts, when he committed to Tennessee, he walked into the football stadium and he had goosebumps, and that was the moment he knew he was going to come to Tennessee. So that kind of closed the deal for him on the front end. And on the back end, you know, with his relationship with Benintendi, I know that he wishes he could have taken in, you know, 3 or 4 years of those football games.
And we sure do appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And if you would, remind folks again when that on January 25th, it'll be the first pitch banquet for the 2020 season for Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, it'll be the first, you know, look at our guys for the second semester. We'll introduce everybody and have a really low-key night. It'll be nice and casual. And those four guys are going to be superstars up on that stage. They'll be entertaining. So it'll be a really neat event over at Mill and Mine in Old City. And it'll be on January 25th, and I know our folks are working diligently on sign-up stuff and all that, so that stuff's to come pretty soon, but for now, we just want everyone to save that date that is able to.
Coach, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the holidays. Have safe travels if you are indeed hitting the road, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again in the near future.
You bet, fellas. Merry Christmas to you if I don't see you, and Merry Christmas to all the Vol fans, and let's go get a bowl win.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello.